Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters, and we appreciate you being with us. Coming up in 20 minutes, the final installment of Fatherhood at the Movies. What was my number one most watched film in the middle of the night? Nursing, burping, and changing diapers for the first 2 weeks of being a dad. We will tell you coming up here in 20 minutes. But first up, he is the host of MLB Now, weekdays at noon Eastern on MLB Network. MLB Network has the Twins and Braves, Astros and Cardinals coming up tomorrow. Joining us this morning on the show is the great BK Brian Kenny. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Damon. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. I was just waxing poetic about how much I love watching Ellie De La Cruz and why he's so special. But as somebody who dates earlier than I do watching baseball and loving baseball, what makes him so unique for the average fan that maybe has not tuned into a Reds game yet?
Well, it's amazing. Like, it, just when you hear this guy, like the elevator pitch is tremendous, right? Like the 10-second pitch of, it's a 6'5" switch-hitting shortstop. He hits the ball the hardest in all of baseball, throws the ball the hardest in all of baseball, and he's the fastest guy in baseball. How's that for the elevator pitch?
It's amazing. And yeah, he has helped elevate the Reds. I mean, he's also performing when the spotlight is on him. It seems like when he was called up, it was big hit after big hit. In that big series over the weekend, he had the cycle. He seems to also thrive in the moments, doesn't he?
Well, you know what's like the main thing that stands out, like once you get past the statcasty things, right, the things you can measure, his tools are outrageous. Like this is what, like, you know, would blow a scout's mind, right, before you had statcast. Now that you can measure it, he's off. He's literally at the top of the charts, off the charts. But he can play. Like I was watching him because I hadn't seen him, you know, Damon, in the minors. I'd only heard about him, read about him. I see him in the majors. Like by the time I'm watching him in his second game, I go, oh, he can play. Like he's hitting the ball to the other field, you know, to the opposite field. He knows when to advance. He challenges you on the base paths, but he's not reckless. He's not getting thrown out. He knows how to play the game. He's polished. He's like, you know, we have this tendency to think of the guys with the tools that they'll be a little raw, kind of like the guy that you would naturally compare him to, O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates, who's 6'7" playing shortstop. He's got outrageous tools, but he's not polished. He's still, like, learning the game at the major league level. I'm watching Ellie De La Cruz. He's polished, and he's successful. By the way, he's hitting, like, .330.
I know.
He's got a good on base. He's slugging .600. Like, I'm doing an essay today on MLB Now. Actually, it's written. It's ready to go. We're doing it today at noon Eastern. And what I'm saying at the top of the essay is his results are good. It's not like, oh, these tools, they translate into success. No, no, no. He's successful now. Like, he's good now, and then the tools are on top of it.
Yep, absolutely right. Brian Kenny joins us this morning from MLB Network. Another great story in baseball, the Baltimore Orioles. They had that wow season last year that surprised a lot of people, but now they're even better this year. What have they carried over from last season to this season?
I think they just they just get better. They're just a little deeper. That, you know, they've got more good young players coming in. I admire them. They just make small deals. You know, we do get obsessed with the teams that win the winter, the teams that do the buying. And right now, like I even said this to Mike Elias, their general manager, like you really kind of, you know, stood pat in the off season, and he kind of took affront to that, and he listed all these like minor deals he made. You know, no, we got Adam Frazier, and we got this. I'm like, okay, that's not Trey Turner for $300 million. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This, you know, they made nice small deals, but what they're doing is no. We don't have the money. We're drafting. We're developing. We're augmenting, and we're just going to be good. There's a lot to be said for just doing that. Develop your own players, keep them, play them, and just augment as you can. And, yeah, they've been actually – I'm glad you brought them up because they've been under the radar. You know, the Rays got off to a fantastic start. The Yankees are always making a lot of noise. The Blue Jays are a very sexy team. So just, like, right there, right behind the Rays all year long have been the Orioles.
A lot of O's fans have blamed ownership for not spending money and using the youth movement as an excuse not to spend the money. But in this case, as you said, the front office seems to be validated by whatever – program or game plan they're working with.
Yeah, well, at this point, there comes a time, and like I always bring up this, the example of just several years ago, probably, I think we're talking 7-8 years ago at this point. But remember the Royals and the Pirates were kind of coming up at the same time.
Right.
And they both took a long time to get there because, you know, they're not big spenders, but they were drafting and developing, and that was Andrew McCutchen and the Pirates. And then it was, Eric Hosmer and Lorenzo Cain of the Royals, Alex Gordon, that whole group. So the Royals, when they got to that precipice, like suddenly everybody started playing well and they became a team that could win 84, 85 games, ownership put its foot on the accelerator. And remember, they got Ben Zobrist, they got Johnny Cueto. They added a bunch of players that they thought they needed to go from a pennant winner to a World Series champion, and it worked. The Pirates, when they got to that point, and I think one year the Pirates won 97 games. They had excellent. They were a three-year run. They were excellent. But they never did put on the finishing touches. So there will come a time where the Orioles are going to have to put on the finishing touches if they want to be a competitor in the playoffs. I don't think this team like rolls through the playoffs as currently constructed. And they're also going to have, at a certain point, what are we doing with Adley Rutschman? Adley Rutschman is your franchise player. And other clubs have, you know, locked up their franchise player. Like Julio Rodriguez, the Mariners locked him up. Wander Franco of the Rays, he's locked up. You do eventually have to make an investment, at least in your own guys.
Mm. Brian Kenny, MLB Network, joining us this morning here on the show. The Padres seem to be building a super team. We're halfway through the season. They're 9.5 back in the division, and they're 4 games under 500. What has happened to the Pods?
Yeah, they're puzzling. I did on the show. I have a thing I call Malaise Watch. Damon, I think you'd like it. We use as a background that bad air that came into New York City from Canada. Like,
oh, yeah.
Ago. Remember that? And everything turned orange.
Yeah.
And you know, it was like, oh. And you just kind of had a headache, and you were choking a little bit. You didn't feel so good. Just this overall malaise. And that's the Mets, the Padres, and the Cardinals. Like, to me, it's fascinating. All three teams were good last year. The Cardinals even, like, won the Central going away by 7 games. They haven't had a losing season in 16 years. So their pedigree is solid, right? And then the other two, they spent enormous amounts of money, the Mets and the Padres. And all three have a losing record. Like, to me, it's the story of the season. Like, it's what is happening? And of the three, I did an essay on this yesterday, the Padres are in the best shape. The Padres should be fine. Tatis is hitting and fielding great in right field, by the way. Ha-Seom Kim is one of the top players in baseball. I don't know if you've seen a good look at him. I know he's not a big hitter, but he's the best defensive player in the league. His base running skills are outrageous. He's aggressive. He's competitive. Juan Soto is hitting well. Their pitching is good. Their bullpen is even like ranked third in the league, even though they've had a lot of failure, a lot of noisy sort of blown save failure. They should be fine. But to this point, Damon, they're not. I mean, so something's not quite right. If you look at their engine, you would say this team is fine. They're good. How come they're not winning? You got to get in the weeds and watch them game to game.
Is this finally the year we get to see Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani in the postseason together?
I don't know. They're kind of they're treading water right now, and I think the problem is, I mean, they lost Zach Neto. Zach Neto is a game-changing player as well, kind of like Ha-Sun Kim, right? Like, not a superstar, not one of the top guys that you mentioned, but he's their young shortstop that came up. He's hurt. He's on the IL now. He's still, I think, a few weeks away. And if they don't get him, I mean, they just made a deal for Eduardo Escobar, for Mike Moustakas. They're trying to hold up because Rendon is gone again. He's hurt, and Neto is hurt. So they're trying to hold on. And I think the problem is, unlike the Padres and the Mets, who are chasing the Brewers and the Marlins, in the American League, they got to chase down the Astros and the Blue Jays. I don't like those odds. Mm-hmm. I think the Blue Jays are powerful, and the Astros are a solid unit. I would have to vote no if I was a betting man. I'd say no right now.
Okay. Brian Kenny hosts MLB Now, which is the show for the thinking fan on MLB Network. It's weekdays at noon Eastern. And MLB Network has Twins and Braves and Astros and Cardinals tomorrow. A couple of teams that we talked about right there. So check it out. MLB Network, the best in the biz during baseball season. BK, always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right, Damon, you take care.
You too. Brian Kenny joining us this morning here on the DA Show. Excellent stuff. And I think I'm going to be talking a lot about Ellie De La Cruz over the course of this summer. I got a feeling. I love watching him. I love watching his cut-in of the at-bats. I love watching his highlights. I love what he's done to the Reds. I love how he's energized that fan base. And to see packed houses in Cincinnati and near packed houses in Baltimore, pretty cool. I love seeing those ballparks with great baseball towns come alive. Dennis Rodman said that Larry Bird would be playing in Europe if he played today. And again, Rodman's in the category of you can't even really believe what he says. So I don't know how much stock you put in it, but Dennis Rodman did play against peak Larry Bird. It's not like a guy that plays now dismissing a previous generation. No, those guys couldn't play in our day and age. Because Rodman, as part of the Bad Boys, had to get through the Boston Celtics and lost to the Boston Celtics a number of times and then finally got through the Celtics. And so he saw Larry Bird. Now, Bird was not the most dynamic athlete. He wasn't necessarily explosive. He wasn't a ferocious dunker. But Larry Bird could shoot the lights out. Bird was the first true three-point marksman that used it as a weapon. Bird also was an elite passer. Bird was a cutthroat competitor. And Bird was a three-time league MVP. So, guys, do we think that Larry Bird would be playing in Europe if he played nowadays?
No. And I hate in any sport when we do this, when we say that person couldn't play today. If Larry Bird played in 2023, he still would have his God-given ability, but be in NBA weight rooms with NBA shooting coaches. And I believe that Larry Bird was that special a talent that he would have adapted to today's NBA with all of the modern technology, medicine, whatever, and still been an all-time great. And I believe that to be the case for all-time greats in every sport.
Bogues?
We said this yesterday about Antonio Brown. We don't need to hear from him anymore. We don't need to hear from Rodman.
No.
If you want to slightly reassess Bird in today's NBA, I get it. But in today's NBA, we shoot 45 threes a game. And there are guys whose job it is to just shoot threes. So, like, worst case scenario for Bird, he'd have a job shooting for somebody. But he was a tremendous passer. Smart. I mean, there's no walking back Larry Bird. It's just not. To me, he would have figured out a way to be good at any point of time where there was NBA basketball.
Yeah, that's the key here, is that so much of his skill set actually translates better to today's day and age. I mean, back then, if he shot seven threes in the game, it was like, wow, Bird shot seven threes. That's an entire team. Now, as you said, if you let Larry Bird shoot 20 threes a game, and all he's doing is practicing the art of the three-pointer all day long, every day, and he's an elite passer, amazing court vision, you can let him play forward and just allow him to play around the perimeter and bring the ball up. Like, there's no reason why he would not be good in today's NBA. You want to say he's not as fast, bouncy, athletic in terms of getting to the rim as other players today, average players today? Maybe, but the rest of his skill set, it's like, what, being the best three-pointer in the game wouldn't be of value in 2023?
But again, he, in theory, then would have grown up with his given ability playing at that kind of way. So who's to say he wouldn't have been more athletic? Different kinds of training, different kind of growth. Like, his whole life of playing basketball with that skill set would have adapted to today's game.
Yeah, and even if you just look at him as the hick from French Lick, a white guy that wasn't, you know, a huge dunker, and say, well, that would never work in today's NBA, it's stupid because all of his skill set does.
Right.
All the things he did great does.
This is pretty crazy. Looking at his per game averages, he only averaged one made three per game on five occasions in his career. He usually only took three or four per game on average.
Think about that. And he won the three-point contest at least two or three times.
Yeah.
So he was the best three-point shooter in the game, but it was just recently introduced. I think we got the NBA three-pointer sometime in the early 80s. And so he just came into the game when we got the three-pointer. And coaches were like, don't take threes.
Right.
There's no value there. You're Larry Bird. Keep taking twos. Everybody take twos. The mid-range jumper is the ultimate. So, yeah, imagine taking his greatest strength and being like, yeah, you're not allowed to do that either. And still be a three-time MVP.
He averaged a double-double for the first six seasons of his career.
Was that assists or rebounds? Was the
rebounds.
He was also a great passer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and at least five assists a year.
It was crazy. It is a Trash Tuesday, so here's some trashes. Dr. Phil Keto is trashing the absurdly awful given names of college baseball players. Cody, Bryce, Jordan Jacoby, Lance, Chase, Braden, Hayden, and Cade. Trash them.
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
There is a certain element where college baseball falls into line with, like, lacrosse names, right? They're kind of in that same genre. But I don't necessarily find any of those names offensive.
No, but is there one too many Codys in the world? A Braden here that we don't need? I mean, maybe, but it's fine. Connors.
No Pete's.
Not enough Pete's
Not
anymore.
Not enough Pete's.
No.
Where's the Pete's?
Yeah, or George.
Where's the Georges?
Yeah.
There's not enough Georges, for sure.
We're light on Georges.
We are.
Heavy on Cades.
My biggest complaint now about these young kids is all the hair they've got. Like, it's the new thing to have as much hair as possible. And for a guy who needs every last strand, it's like they're just taunting me.
My daughters are struggling in the hair department.
Really?
Still light, you know, not thick enough. Taylor sometimes looks like a, you know, her hair, frankly, looks like a goat chewed half of it off. Some struggles there.
Does she look like Scooter, the world's ugliest dog?
Exactly. It's ponytail or bust. Otherwise, it's a bad scene.
Grady Dick's got big hair.
Yeah, and I don't remember that. Did he let it grow post-Kansas?
So. He's got a lot of hair.
I thought that was great still.
What, Grady Dick's?
The red sequin jacket. I loved it. Loved it.
Well, I've got a whole take built around Grady Dick that I never got to because I wasn't on the air the other day.
Are you crafting takes in the shower when you're not on the air?
Well, it struck me that, as I said, this is the first time in my career since I got hired to do anything that I had more than a week off. I don't think I've ever taken more than a week off. And so I've had time to really look at things and be like, oh, how would I talk about this today? Because I'm actually interested in Grady Dick. I didn't really even know him until he became this kind of social media phenomenon within the draft. It struck me that Grady Dick is the first in a new generation of TikTok athletes. In that, a little bit like Jake Paul, but less, because Jake Paul is really a celebrity that became a boxer. There is now going to be this march of young people that have perfected social media and branding and this bigger than life personality and crafting this image of themselves. And because everybody basically under the age of 22 can probably do this. Inevitably, there's going to be a handful of elite athletes that do it. And so Grady Dick comes off as a little bit of a buffoon. He kind of seems like clownish. Like the red sequin outfit for anybody that's over the age of 40 is like, what are you doing? Yet for him and for this next tier of young people, this is totally normal. This is normalcy. Everybody that he went to high school with probably does this. He just happened to be the five-tool, five-star NBA All-Star.
With a silly name.
With a silly name, right. So I find this very interesting because we might be, and all of us are old guys, quote-unquote, in this room. Boyle's kind of the closest to being a young guy. We might quickly find ourselves watching sports with a strata of 20-somethings that are a bunch of Grady Dicks. And we're going to be like, this is a bit uncomfortable because I watched, I'm like, what is going on here with this kid? It's like, how much is real? It's a little bit like the Will Levis thing. Was Will Levis really putting mayo in his coffee because he liked it or eating banana peels on the banana? Or did he do it because he knew it courts attention? It's about followers and traction and things like this. And they're all in this mode where we still believe in this kind of authenticity, be who you are, and you know, you don't want to come off as a dope or whatever. These kids are flipping that around, being like, I don't care if I come off as a dope. That's cool because people pay attention, and I'm trolling them and they don't know it. So we guys, old guys in the room, 10 years from now, if we're still doing this, and Mraz doing poop stuff over on the other station, we might be like, whoa, what's going on with these kids?
Yeah. NDA newsflash, they wear really nice, sleek sweatpants now in offices. So you need to get behind that, too. Mm. The days of fedoras and cigarettes on the airplanes are over, pal.
Yep. Put your scotch away at 11 a.m.
Essentially, for Mraz as a replacement, I want to hire Humphrey Bogart.
Sorry. A masterpiece theater. In the control
room. Did you say Humpy Bogart? Who'd
you... DA, we got the next... next candidate, his name's Humpy Bogart. Oh, perfect. And he comes in dressed like Grady Dick. Yeah. Wait a second. No. Oh, he's a trick shot guy. Oh. Oh, and he wears a powdered wig and he does trick shots and he has 2.3 million followers. Hey, guys. I want to be your producer. No.
That's actually a great bit. I want to know ultimately who gets hired and what they wore to the interview. Does DA judge everybody in their wardrobe in that interview?
I have to take notes.
One of the guys that came to Bob's bar said to me, you know what? When you guys get into that sweatpant debate, I tell my girlfriend, DA's right on the money with this. He goes, I feel the same way. Society.
That's right. Good for him.
That's right. Kyle is trashing his supervisor, having him work 12-hour days in 100-plus degree heat. Time to organize a rebellion. Glad to see you got out of the baby bunker for now. Excited to see what you guys have planned for the next couple of weeks. Trash his supervisor.
I smell rotten eggs.
And Ostrich Eyes is trashing Mraz / Shane Morash for not being able to pronounce Levi. I love the guy, but you can't have your name back. Shane, go Cowboys, all in good fun.
It's the landfill, overnights in El Paso.
# when is his last day? You mispronounced, I think it's a joke. You mispronounced Levi?
Maybe I said Levy instead? Okay. I mean, potato, potato. I mean, what are you going to do?
It doesn't matter.
I just spent 10 years with people not being able to pronounce my name and it turned into a nickname. Get over it.
Okay. When we come back, we wrap up Fatherhood of the Movies with a painful conclusion to a series that never got off the ground. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Tape.
Wait a minute. Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
Too many troublemakers here. Too many 40-year-old adolescents, felons, power drinkers, and trustees of modern chemistry.
Now answer my question. Were you rushing or were you dragging? Answer!
Rushing. From the minds that brought you Mothership at the Movies, he's bleary-eyed. He's mixing formula. And he's sifting through the Roku channel at 4 a.m.
Now's the time.
We present Fatherhood at the Movies.
It was a good day yesterday.
You look like a dad who lost his kid at Coachella.
Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
It was a good day yesterday. AJ was sleeping for two and a half hours on his own. And gas has dissipated. This is an important part of things.
Wow.
The gas was keeping him up. He was kind of fussy. The volume of baby farts is unreal. They're louder than adult farts. I just can't believe it. Just huge bombs.
I mean, you live in a different world, but yes.
I couldn't believe it. So it was a good day, so I'm no longer having to watch these movies in the middle of the night. But here's what the list looked like. I watched 14 films in the first 12 days of fatherhood. The worst was Ideal Home with Paul Rudd. Then the sci-fi thriller 65, as in 65 million years ago. Smokey and the Bandit at number 12, disappointing to me. Stan and Ollie about Laurel and Hardy at 11. Elvis at number 10. King of Staten Island at number 9. Hall Pass at number 8. Air about Michael Jordan and Nike at number 7. Pop Star with Andy Samberg and the Lonely Island crew at number 6. Solo, a Star Wars film at number 5, in Detroit Rock City, an Edward Furlong throwback to the Kiss era in the 70s was number 4. Number 3, we go to the top 3. Number 3 was the comedy You People, following a new couple in their families who find themselves examining modern love and family dynamics amidst clashing cultures, societal expectations, and generational differences. Doesn't sound funny. I found this incredibly enjoyable. Now, the cast is awesome. First of all, Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays the mother of the groom, and Eddie Murphy plays the father of the bride. Now, you pit Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Eddie Murphy in a movie together and antagonistically against one another in the film, and I'm all in because they're just brilliant comedians. But I thought they also played their roles incredibly well and were such... They were bellwethers for the comedy. And I thought the message is really interesting. I like Jonah Hill. I don't know if I love Jonah Hill. But the message being that when you get two families from different parts of society, we are taught in 2023, everyone come together, everyone unified, don't have any preconceived, you know, judgments. And the reality is people come in with all of that. And it's not always pretty, and it doesn't end with a nice, tidy, we love each other. There's a lot of difficulty that goes into it. And I think also this message of when you get two people together and their families are different, it's hard on the couple. And that doesn't mean you always come from different cultures or different ethnicities. That's just in general, dealing with in-laws is hard. It's just always hard to deal with somebody else's family. So I thought this was a really funny film. I gave it 4.25 oinks.
I love this movie.
And you also like this.
This might have been a 5-oinker for me.
5?
Like, I don't want to live in the moment.
Now,
but
that's a perfect score.
Well, here's what I'll say. Enough time has passed since I saw this movie. I saw it, like, one of the first nights it came out on Netflix, so much so that I don't even have Netflix because I can't share my mother-in-law's account anymore.
Uh-huh.
This, to me, is as close to a perfect the comedy as it's coming out in the last 5 years for sure. And I actually think if we weren't in the streaming Netflix world and this had real theater buzz, would have rivaled like old school Wedding Crashers, Superbad, that kind of
when
era.
When you go to the theater and
when
watch.
You go to the theater and look, did you go see this movie? Did you go see it? Not that people don't go see movies, but because it was on Netflix, I think people don't realize how good it was. It is that caliber of comedy to me.
It's excellent. The writing's really funny. Jonah Hill's really, really good in it. And again, Julie Louis-Dreyfus and Eddie Murphy are all-time icons. So I really liked it. Number two, Whiplash. I'm surprised I never saw this film. This is a few years old now. This is about 8 years old or so. A promising young drummer enrolls at a cutthroat music conservatory where his dreams of greatness are mentored by an instructor who will stop at nothing to realize a student's potential. Miles Teller is absolutely phenomenal in this as the student. J.K. Simmons is next level as the teacher. And it poses this amazing question. The acting is phenomenal. It's so simple. I love that it was so simple that the core of the question just pounded you over the head. What creates greatness? Is it the student that cares so desperately to become great like Miles Teller? Or is it the coach? If you're a sports fan, it fits perfectly into this narrative. Is it the coach that manipulates you or pushes you in unethical ways to drive you crazy looking for approval that creates the greatness? And there's this conversation towards the end where you are astounded at the manipulation. You are in awe of how cutthroat they are against one another, and they really don't care. You think about each other's well-being. And yet they have this conversation of what creates greatness, and can J.K. Simmons go too far by some of his traits pushing somebody who potentially could be great away? That it's just not worth it. That Miles Teller would say, I'm not into this. I'm out of here. Or is Miles Teller predestined to be great? And so thus, any way you can get it out, it's all validated. I found this so interesting. It's so good. It's so powerful. It's so intimidating at times. It's palpable in the energy. And I can't believe I haven't seen this before. But I think, Bogues, you said you love this movie.
Great
as well.
Movie.
Whiplash is an incredible, incredible flick. I give it 4.5 oinks.
Love it. It's just, it's a movie. It's a good movie, an idea we can all kind of relate to. The performances are great. There's a four dimension in there, so you already got me hooked in. Love that movie.
Or as you see this?
No, in fact, I thought Whiplash was the movie where Juno plays the roller derby girl. I totally had this wrong.
You were nodding your head, though. You've seen this
I've seen Whiplash. J.K. Simmons is phenomenal. He is intimidating. They're not quite my tempo, and over and over again, screaming at him. Yeah.
Again!
Yeah.
Again!
It's great. And I was at so many points in the movie. I was like, "Is Miles Teller gonna break here? Is he gonna break down?"
Yep. It's an incredible flick. Finally, the best movie that I saw. Maybe disappointing to some because it'll be too cliche, but it was an '80s movie. Mores hangs his head.
Oh.
Roadhouse, starring Patrick Swayze. A tough bouncer hired to tame a dirty bar. And this might be deflating for some.
And we did this whole bit to get to Roadhouse.
I know.
But I'm going to tell you this. Roadhouse has so many amazing levels that I was blown away as I watched it. Because we all know Roadhouse. It's tough guy Patrick Swayze cleaning up a bar. We've seen the clips. We know it. Roadhouse is a next level film. Because number one, Roadhouse is actually the last modern Western. We make Westerns all the time about cowboys and out of the prairie, the frontier. This is a last-ditch bar 2 hours south of Kansas City, middle of nowhere. And it pits the guy trying to, quote, clean up the town in a lawless place against the local bigwig money guy that law doesn't apply to him. So this is a great Western, a frontier film, but set in modern day. Also, the easy play here is that Patrick Swayze goes, he pounds some heads, he throws them out of the bar, he cleans up the town. That's not the framing. Patrick Swayze is not just a tough guy. Patrick Swayze is about peace. Patrick Swayze goes into a bar, sees all this bad stuff happening, and says, we're not fighters. No violence here. You have to kill them with kindness. You have to keep telling them nice things, be complimentary, until you have to fight. And I think this is just an amazing code to live by, that you don't go looking for violence, and Swayze's the ultimate tough guy. Instead, it's about peace, it's about peace, it's about peace, until you have to do something, in which case, then you take care of your business. On top of it, how does Swayze get there? It's through a Buddhist mindset. We see Swayze, who's out in a field doing Zen-like exercises. He's conjuring up this meditation of the Zen. And kind of like as I'm seeing Mraz shake his head disappointed, I'm going to be Swayze here. I'm not going to get mad. This is stuff that clearly went over your head, and it's something that I think makes it a beautiful film. It pits all of these different things that you think it should be, but it's not. It's not any of those things. And if you're a simpleton, perhaps a peanut brain type of person that might soil himself, maybe you might not see it. But in my case, I was in awe of the storytelling, the background, the context. Sam Elliott comes in as kind of a mystical figure. You don't know what his background is. They have these really intense conversations around the diner. I just thought Roadhouse is pegged as a two-dimensional film. It's actually a 3 to 4-dimensional film. And I just thought, incredible. And Patrick Swayze is so good. He is just a master at the craft. Roadhouse, boom. Not a perfect film, 4.75, but the best film that I watch.
I almost hate that we've wedged this in here with 20 minutes left in the show. Roadhouse, I extremely, extremely like. I this is not a knock on Roadhouse the movie. It's a knock on you. In your rambling for the last 5 minutes about how multidimensional the movie is, you talked about it being set in modern day. The movie came out 35 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, maybe that's modern day for you. That's not modern day, number one.
Compared to a classic Western.
Number two, maybe your wife was onto something with this bit, because I thought it was going well. I thought we were steamrolling. We gave you a pass for Smokey and the Bear 3 weeks ago, and we did
Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey and the Bandit. We did this whole thing to get to number one, and your number one movie, in a bit that was supposed to be you catching up on what you missed, was a movie from 89?
Well, I got news for you. It's my show. These are the movies that I saw, and this is the take on the movies that I saw.
I love the movie.
I'm not going to manipulate how I felt about the movies to make for a better segment for you bozos. These were the films as I ranked them and what I saw in them.
I mean, I cannot argue. That's inarguable. That's your plan.
And you watched them organically. We didn't give you these however many to, and then say, please rank them. You just stumbled upon them. But it's an odd payoff over, like, I don't know, 14 days, 6 shows, multiple countdowns.
You're not listening. No.
I'm listening.
Roadhouse was not the film I thought it was.
I know, but
it's a 3D or even a 4D movie.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're playing chess. Others are playing checkers.
That's what I'm saying.
That's in the mail.
But I don't even know if Roadhouse's creators would ever pitch it the way you've just pitched it.
I think they would. Pat Boyle has headlines.
All right, we got to go quick here. I got a name for Dr. Phil Keto, who's upset with the college baseball names. LSU starter last night, Thatcher Hurd. He gave up a two-run home run in the first inning.
That's a Thatcher. Good millennial name.
Yeah, Thatcher. Thatcher Hurd. Gave up a two-run home run in the first inning, then proceeded to retire 18 of the next 21 batters. And along the way, LSU's bats strung together a record 24 hits in the Men's College World Series for a dominant 18-4 win. They are the national champions for the seventh time in program history. Had some sound from Dylan Cruz. He went 4-for-6 with an RBI and 3 runs scored. He won the NCAA Golden Spikes Award. That's the nation's best player. Finished top 5 in the country in most major offensive categories. He will be the number 1 pick in the draft next month. You could book that.
It's debatable still.
You think?
I was just reading yesterday because the Pirates don't necessarily want to pay him what the slot is. So he's saying, I'm not going to go there.
All right. Then the Pirates can continue to suck for another 15 years.
Yep.
By the way, I have the final number from Rocco's Pizza College World Series Jello Shot Challenge.
Okay.
LSU fans bought 68,888 Jello Shots.
My
$5
God.
A pop.
You know what the previous record was? 18,000 plus by Ole Miss. So they broke it by 50,000.
You think they like drinking in LSU?
Yeah. I'd like to go down there and see what's popping around.
They wanted to buy you a Jello shot.
That's a good one. I like that one. I think Pete was about to hit it, but NHL awards were last night.
It's
Connor,
not funny.
Oh, wow. I thought Pete was going to let it slide.
All right, real quick. Connor
Morty left early like Jack Stern.
So the quick math, that's like $345,000 for charity.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there was, I forget, Dylan Graves. I don't know if I have that name right. Somebody, there was two guys' names that bought, like, together, the two of them had bought just 15,000. And I think that was the last weekend that happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Connor McDavid, third Hart Trophy as the NHL MVP last night. Linus Ullmark wins the Vezina for best goaltender. Andrei Kopitar wins the Lady Bing because he's just such a nice guy. And then really quick, we don't have time for it. Jim Montgomery won the Jack Adams Award for Coach of the Year, but he basically talked about how he got fired from his previous, I think he was with the Sharks. Because he struggled with alcohol addiction.
Yeah.
So that was 3.5 years ago, and he basically talked about how the Bruins and being a team and so family-oriented helped him overcome that. So
pretty intense.
Yeah. Baseball, Mariners beat the Nats 8-4. Spencer Strider in his tight pants struck out 10 batters over 7 innings. Marcell Ozuna had a home run. Ronald Acuna with a 2-run bomb in the bottom of the 7th. Braves beat the Twins 4-1. And contrary to what Brian Kenny said, the O's don't show any signs of slowing down. They pounded the Reds 10-3 last night. And we talked about the John Collins trade to the Utah Jazz, Atlanta getting back Rudy Gay, who Sean didn't know was still in the league, and a future second-round pick. And then, again, Brock Purdy, next step of his throwing plan, he's going to throw in front of a quarterback coach and an orthopedic specialist, which, I mean, what are they going to see? His arm either feels good or it doesn't. What is the orthopedic specialist going to be like? Hey, Brock, you know, your elbow dropped a little bit there. I'm a little concerned for you.
I don't think they're going to see you seeing Pete give you the brakes.
Just, I have the jack plugged all the way in, Pete. I can hear if you talk to me now.
Well, how about you look at the clock? It's a new concept, the clock.
Oh, sorry, DA went on about Roadhouse for 7 minutes.
All right, when we come back here on the show, your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
So what will Mraz bring to his new destination? When the Post says that, it's like some personality. Well, if you want Mraz's personality, like, the best thing he does is says and does things nobody else would ever admit to.
Huh?
We've all said this. When he soiled his pants, if any of us did it, which we wouldn't because we're adult men.
Correct.
We would certainly not admit it.
Just a hunch here going up the butt. I'm sorry, up the gut.
Mm-mm. Nor run to the bathroom in some type of zany Bugs Bunny hair on fire situation.
Correct.
And then come back, bend over, and be like, look at what happened. Look at what happened.
Again.
So,
DA, I got to run real 1 second. I got an oopsie.
The sum... Well, you don't just plot Mraz in there, get his take on the Giants running back situation, then it'd be like, oh, well, let's get some of the poop stuff, you know? Yeah. Like, that's its own huge mushroom cloud.
Let's clarify the red, white, and blue team.
Yeah.
Ah, sorry.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah.
A quarterback that rhymes with bones, give your take on that, and then do a fart sound. That's what they're looking for, right?
He threw for 300 yards.
But the fart sound...
It's Ebony Tiki. With, well, that's a little bit of personality right there. That's,
yeah.
That's some. You can bring that anecdote to the air, and then that's not necessarily the poop stuff.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I got an oopsie.
Well, you, really? I mean, I feel like I'm leaving here with a legacy of being the poop guy.
Yeah.
Which again,
what?
If the poop fits.
As always, says, why am I the poop guy? Well, because 65% of the crazy things you do have involved right. that.
Well, I mean, we might play back some clips over the next 3 weeks. How many of them are going to be poop related? I don't know.
Too many.
His bowels in check during PGP?
We're going to have a whole montage that's going to use.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the raw number, but it definitely falls under too many of them.
The raw number. What's the raw data set?
45th percentile.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Which neatly folds into the question of the morning. Should Mraz limit that, quote, poop stuff in the new job? 56% of you say, yeah. A potty training was tricky for Bob the Deadly Man. He once forgot Mraz's sister on the bowl or the 1994 Grammys. Nancy found her passed out with her head on the hamper when she got home at 11 p.m.
While your dad was watching what Chili Peppers
performed. True story. You're called up for tomorrow.
I'm going to save the other two for tomorrow's show because this is so good. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel, Andrew Bogish, Pat Boyle on headlines, and Kevin Wall on the simulcast. Be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.